Okay, page 38. Kiloi kel chafet resha ata. Hashem is not a God that desires resha. Lo yigur chara does not dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ra does not defend HaKadosh Baruch Hu's domain. Amar Rabbi Yaakov b'reide bas Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of the daughter of Yaakov. Why do we call him the daughter of Yaakov? It's because his father was a goy. His father was a non-Jew. So that's why it's called, that's why this individual, Rabbi Yaakov, who was the son of Bas Yaakov. Okay, whatever. Kol shechaver nena shal yodei ein machnisin v'yisai b'mechitzas ha'shel l'akodesh baruch hu minolam mehocha. Gam anoish la'atzadik lo'itoiv. Kolomek asher ha'atzadik ma'anish gam ha'atzadik nechshav lo'itoiv. Whenever a tzaddik is the cause of another person receiving harm, it's not good for him. Ein loy toiv el ra. Not only is it not good, it's evil. Look, siv here is where it says in the pasuk here, the b'kar ki loy kel chafet zeresha ota, the end of the pasuk, lo yogur chora, does not dwell within the mechitzos. Yogur means to live. A person who is called a ra does not live within the abode of Hashem. Upe Rushoi, Tzadik Ato Hashem, Al Kain, you are, the pasuk over here means you are Hashem or a Tzadik. Therefore, Kiloi Kel Chofe Tzeresha Ota Hashem, Tzadik Hashem Chod Rocha, Al Kain Lo Yogur Bim Gur Chora. Okay, so this is what you say every night in Kriya Shema Al Hamita. Kriya Shema Al Hamita, we say this principle. That we in Kriya Shema we recite that v'lo ye'onesh shum adam b'sibasi. No person should be punished because of me. If a person is the cause of someone else's suffering, even though he's justified in that being the case, he is responsible. There is a complaint against that person. Why were you the cause of this person's suffering? And therefore, he does not dwell in the mechitzos of Hashem. And that this pasuk is the makar. One more time, it says here in this pasuk, ki loy kel chofetz resha ata. Hashem has no desire for resha, and lo yigurcha ra. The gurcha means to live. Ra, a person that is the cause of someone else's suffering, a person should always be forgiving, should be moichel. I mean, obviously there's a degree to how far this goes, but generally when a person asks for mechila, or the type of aver is not an aver that warrants a person should be vengeful, then we apply this rule that this person will not merit to dwell within the mechitzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he is the cause of someone else in this world's suffering. Okay, Ablaza, I know it's breaking up, right? The computer, do you hear me, Ablaza? Do you hear me? Yeah, I'm on him, the computer, and this computer is not working. I'm in trouble over here.
It's still breaking up.
It's still breaking up? I'll give it another minute. It doesn't.
I hear you, but the voice breaks up.
Okay, we'll give it another minute. If it doesn't, it could be there's not enough power in the computer. If it doesn't get better within 2 minutes, I'll reboot the whole computer. Let's just see what happens. Give it another 2 minutes. Okay, next Chazal. Next Chazal is, it's we're up to page 38. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines after it gets white. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shnei Rikim Hein. There are two Rikim. There are two heavens. Reish Lakish, Amar, Shiva, there are seven. The Elohim, what are the seven heavens? The Loin, the curtain, Rakia, Shechakim, Zavul, Ma'on, Machon, Aravois. Okay, we have all, there are seven heavens. Some want to say that when you say Kriya Shema, when we say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and when you come to the letter Ches, you are supposed to think that Hashem is in the eighth heaven. There are seven, based upon this Gemara, there are seven heavens. And Hashem resides above the seven heavens. Okay, Echad, the Dalid, a person is supposed to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all four corners of the world. And the Ches, Hashem resides in the eighth heaven. There are seven heavens, and above the seventh heaven is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence. However, that is a bit controversial. Moshe Feinstein, I believe, has a teshuva, and he says there's no such thing. This is a Baba Maaseh. People say this, that when you say Echod Kriya Shema, you put your hands over your eyes and you say Aleph Hashem is one. He is in the eighth heaven and he is in all four corners of the world. There's no such thing. Someone made this up. There's absolutely no source for this, even though we
what?
Have that Hashem, that you're supposed to think this. That it's also right here. We just quoted the Gemara.
Yeah, right.
The Gemara over here says, how many heavens are there? There are seven heavens. And if there are seven heavens, where is Hashem? Hashem is above these seven heavens. That's what we said. We have Machlokes. Rav Yehuda says, there are two heavens. Reish Lakish says there are seven. Ve'elohein. Viloin. The first one, the lowest one, is Viloin. Then comes the Rakia, Shechakim, Zavul, Ma'on, Shasimcha bin Ma'onai. One of the brachas. There is Machon and Aravos. Now the Gemara goes, so there's this idea, this belief that there are seven heavens and Hashem is above the seventh heaven, the eighth heaven. And when you say Kriyashma, you say the word Echad, you should be Mechave that Hashem is residing in heaven number eight, in his own heaven. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zetzal Levracha, from the rest of our memory, he wrote Tshuva, there is no such thing. There is no such thing. There's no such chazal that a person should have this kavanah when he says Kriya Shema. Okay, did you ever hear of this? This is said when you say Echad? When you say Echad, why then do we know? Maybe, I wonder, maybe it's in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Okay, but it does say that you should think about that Hashem is all four corners of the world. That you are supposed to think about.
What does it mean, Shiva, seven heavens?
I don't know.
I don't want to sounding, you know, negative or skeptical, but the astronauts go straight up, and they go straight up, and go, and go, and go, and go. What does it mean, seven heavens?
Well, we have no idea. Obviously, the world is vast. Okay, I mean, there are many questions. What is called Viloin? What is Shchakim? Where is the sun? The sun, it takes, there's nothing in this world that is faster than the speed of light. Correct? The speed of light is the fastest known flying object in this world. Nothing can go faster than the speed of light. How long does it take from the rays of light to reach this earth? Eight and a fraction.
They now have, they can go and drop, they prove that they go a little bit faster.
What? The speed of light?
Yeah, that it's possible to go forward and they need to go forward in time. And they prove with the Hadron Collider, they prove that.
With yeah.
In other words, not fast enough to make a difference in time, like a split second, that they go backwards or forwards. They argue about which one you could do, which more easy to go forward or back. It's a whole controversy.
So how long does it take so the sun is how far away is the sun? What heaven is the sun in?
It's in our solar system. It's very close.
150 million kilometers. So is this part of our from the seven heavens that it says the men's over here? Which one is that? Which one is you look up into the sky? Okay, the ozone layer. You look above that, and when you get past the point of gravity, obviously, I mean, this is all subject to debate how to define the seven heavens and what's beyond. We know that you know the world is continuously expanding. And it's just billions. I mean, there's no limit. There's no limit to how to what's out there in this world. So where how do you define these seven different heavens? What are they called? Who no one knows. It says in Chazal that Ma'aseh Bereishis Hashem was mavdil between the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. So what is called the Mayim Elyonim? Is it the clouds that we see? Is it something which is beyond what we can possibly measure? Who knows? I have no idea. But there is such a principle.
Well, maybe it's not physical, but dimensions. Right, left, up, down.
Okay, I don't know. I really don't know. These are very, I have no idea what these things mean. But this is a chazal. There are seven heavens, and Hashem is beyond that. Beyond that. Okay, now how is this relevant to our discussion here in our Gemara and our pasuk Machon Shavuotos Shalig Vayitos Bara Balias Tlolim Roim? What is Machon? What the Gemara goes on to discuss what is found in these locations? In the abode called Machon, there are treasure houses of snow, and Oitzrais of Borod. Va'aliyas tilalim ra'im. Va'aliyas agolim. There is a storage house of dew that is ra, and aliyas of agolim. I don't know what that is. What is agolim? Wag. What is agolim? With an aleph. With an ayin, it's a wagon. What's with an aleph? I don't know what this means. Agolim. The chadra shel sufa usara, a chamber of whirlwinds. Umaara, a cave shel kitar of smoke. Vidal sosehem esh, the doors of this abode are made from fire. Shenemar, yiftach Hashem lucha es oitzaroi hatoiv, loseis mitar artsachas. The more makes a diuk. If it says that Hashem could open up a storage house of good, mechankan, sheyesh gam oitzer shel puranos. Hane b'rakfek the Gemara. Hane b'rakien is snuhu. What you telling me that these treasure houses of snow and of tal, they're in heaven? They're here on earth. Hane be'ara isnuhu. The chesiv is the pasuk halu es Hashem in aretz.
By the way, just as in the Gemara in Ein Darshan, but it says that between each level of heaven,
yeah,
it gives you a
500 years.
500 years. Well, what does that mean? So I always thought that maybe they're referring to 500 light years. And
right.
So that's, in other words, so if you can compute how many miles is 500 light years, that's how you would judge every level of heaven, right? So
I read recently a book called The ABCs of Science, and I don't know, Science and Torah. It's sold in a Judaica store. It's a new book. It's presented as a Jewish book. But the truth is, there's very little Torah in the book. It's all basic science. Everything to me is new. Some will claim that this book is on an 8th grade level. Okay, so I'm on an 8th grade level then in science. But there's an enormous amount of information. The person who wrote this book writes very well and knows how to break down very complicated things into very simple terms. And there are a lot of golden nuggets in this book. One of the golden nuggets he talks about is UFOs. I'll tell you in the news, there's a lot of talk about UFOs. Okay, the head of one of the intelligence committees is convinced, like, they must be a real quack. People who run this government. That's not a chiddush. Like, someone even who runs this government, who is really way, way up, he openly says that, you know, he has access to all of those secret files. There are aliens. So this person who wrote the book, he says basically that it's impossible. It is impossible that there are aliens, at least. Not, they can very well be life on other planets. But they're way too far for us. The amount of time, well, here's what he basically says. If there was life, the world is infinite. Can very well be there's intelligent life somewhere else. Who knows? It's not a steer to halacha if you were to find intelligent life somewhere else. But we basically know what's in our neighborhood. We know our neighborhood. We know our territory. We know any life that may exist past our territory. We have to assume that they do not travel faster than the speed of light. That's an assumption we make. The fastest thing that can travel today is light. You can't travel faster than the speed of light. Radio waves doesn't travel faster. So we know our territory. And we know there's no life in our territory. If there is life out there, it's beyond. The amount of time it would take for them to travel to come find us would take millions of years. Because the amount of time it takes for the rays of the sun to get to us is 8 minutes. It's 8 minutes for the sun to come to us, the rays of the sun. So we know our territory. Okay, the sun is in the center. And then you know all the planets that are orbiting.
The pictures from the
Hubble telescope.
The planets took a half hour, like the last.
We have to assume these aliens out there are not going to be able to travel faster than the speed of light. That's a very fair assumption to make, because it's a physical world. Why? Okay, if you don't want to work with that. What? If we're dealing with something that is fair, then you're getting into the spiritual. If you want to go say there are aliens, then you're dealing with Shaden, and you're dealing with a spiritual dimension. But when they talk today in the news about UFOs, they're talking about physical beings. They're talking about intelligent life on other planets. If you want to deal with the Olam HaGashmi, You have a right to assume they cannot travel faster than the speed of light. We know our territory. And the place where we can no longer connect to, but we know that something is out there, for them to travel to us would take more than our lifetime. So it's more than the existence of this world. So it's basically impossible that there is physical, intelligent life beyond our domain. You want to say there's life, that's already ruchnis. You want to go say that when you see different things that cannot be explained, then you're going into the Olam HaKabbalah of Shadim and Ruchos, Malachim. But that's not a Devar Ruchni. That's not a Devar Gashmi. And it's a very, very, it's a very powerful valid book. The whole book was worth it just for that. For that insight. I think his name is Presby. Presby? He's a very... I don't know. It seems
he's a physicist and a long-time lecturer.
Right.
Right.
He's a lecturer. This is a compilation of many of his lectures he's given. He's given on Bezek. So this topic here is right up his alley. The seven heavens, all of these type of things. All right. Let's go further. The Gemara has a question. So therefore, how can you go see over here that these things are in heaven? These things exist in this world. In this world, what do you mean in the heavens? All of these things of snow, hail, smoke, and a sa'ara. Amar, Yudah, Marav, David, Bikesh, Alev, Rachamim, V'hoidin, L'aretz. The Gemara is an incredible thing. How can you reconcile this in Olam HaGashmi? These things were originally in heaven. And David HaMelech, he brought them down to this world. Amar Lefanov, Ribayno Yishloilam, Loikel Chofei Tzresha Ota, Lo Yigur Chara, Sadik Ato Hashem, Lo Yagur Bim Gurcha, does not dwell, Lo Yishkon Etzlecha Ra. Amar, so what is the Gemara over here telling us? The Gemara tells us an amazing thing, that originally, all of these Tlalim Royim, okay, originally in heaven, here by side, originally in heaven, there were these things which are by nature harmful things, and we have a contradiction. On the one end, it tells us that there's an abode in heaven called Machon. Okay, there's an abode called Machon, and in Machon, there are all of these items which are not good. There is Eish, Barat, Kitar, Ruchos Rois, these items, they resided in Shamayim, in the abode called Machon. Contradiction, we find in the pasuk that these things reside here on this world, on earth. Along comes the Gemara, and the Gemara says, Elu v'elu divri elokim chayim. Originally, these items that were harmful did reside in Shamayim. But David, through his tefillah, he removed them. Why did he remove them? Because David said it's not kedai. David did spring cleaning. Our pasuk, it says here in the pasuk here, Lo yigur chara, ki lo yikel chafei tzresha ata, lo yigur chara. Now, I used to have a relative who used to come to the house, and every time he would come visit us, they would rearrange the furniture. There was someone that would come, someone that was very close to my mother, and she would spend time now in our house. And every time this person came to visit, to stay over for a week or two, I come back home, the furniture has been rearranged. The dining room table is this way, the chairs this way, the beds are this. Who asked you? She was an interior decorator, and she just took the liberty to come whenever she came to visit to say that you got it all wrong here. And she would rearrange all the furniture. So who did this? David did this. Hashem created his world. And in Shemayim, Hashem has storage chambers, has all these different things, and then David, Hashem wakes the world. David's born. David goes for a walk and he sees all the furniture. And David decides he's an interior decorator. He rearranges the furniture. He takes all of the items in the storage rooms of Shele, Kito, Ruach Seora. All these things, he rearranges it. Ribbono Shleilim, it's not kedai. These things should be in your vicinity. Lo yidur gorchara, and he brought them down to this world. look, it's funny. I had this past week. I went away as a volunteer to help someone with some electronic equipment. And there was a guy there, another guy there, and he likes to arrange things. He likes to tie the wires in a very unique way. So he comes there, and all the wires are there, and he starts tying up the wires and rearranging, putting on, and then the head guy comes and he goes, "Oh, Jack was here. I can tell Jack was here because I see what's going on over here. This is his signature. He has left his signature by having the need to rearrange everything and put things the way he likes them." That's exactly what David did. David comes over here to this world. He sees that in Shemayim we have storage houses of equipment, electronical equipment that he doesn't like. So he sends it down to this earth, the pasuk that we have over here. Next man chazal. Arba kitas ein mekabelis pnei shechina. There are four people, the four groups that are not, same idea of ra, that are not going to be in the abode of Hashem. What are they? Kat leit sonim, kat chan nefim, the kat shakorim, the kat misapri l'shoin hara. Unbelievable. These are unbelievable lessons, not to be part of the team. This is the team of evil. The leit sonim, people that take, a leit really taich is someone who takes a dover that's choshuv and makes nothing out of it. He's mevatel. A chonif is someone that takes garbage and elevates it. This is the most important thing in the world. You have that in politics all the time, right? People, you have dvarim chashuvim, you have people who are established this country, there are statues of them, people who are symbols, who are freedom and of liberty. Everything that you have in this country is because of this person. And what do? You take his statue and you throw it in the garbage. Okay, that's called a late. A late, someone who takes a dover chashuv, and you throw it in the garbage. What's a chonif? Someone who takes garbage, and you take ideas and things, and all of this is the most critical race theory. Garbage, oh, this is the most important thing. That's a chonif. And then you have politicians who are outright shakronim, lies, outright liars, and the last one, the sapri lashon hara. People, the media, they thrive on exposing things that are harmful. Now, just because it's true doesn't mean you have to go and hang up everyone's dirty laundry. Okay, there are times when it's kedai, obviously, and there are times so the guy has some dirty laundry. What difference does it make? Well, how is this relevant to his position, his job? If it's not relevant, if it's relevant, it's relevant. If it's not relevant, it's not relevant. This is Mamish describing government. This is Mamish Chazal. The four branches of government. The kat chanofim, the kat leitzonim, the kat shakronim, and the kat mesagwe loshon hara. The four branches of government. Right? It's like the five boroughs of New York. What are the five boroughs of New York? Lakewood, New Jersey, Muncie, Borough Park, Flatbush, and Crown Heights, right? Those are the five boroughs of New York City. So there are four branches of government, and they're the Kat Leit Sonim, the Kat Chanofim, the Kat Shakronim, and the Kat...
Because they call it the fourth estate.
The fourth is the fourth...
The fourth estate. The media, right. The press is...
All right, so this is why it says in the pasuk, sadly, how do you, so where does this all come from? This comes from, and then the Gemara goes on, how do you know this? The Gemara cites many pisukim and kam mesab lo shnarav, d'ksev ki lo ke alchav yitzresha ato lo yigur chora, tzadik ato Hashem lo yogur bin gur chora. It does not, ra refers to lashon hara. Lashon hara is the epitome of ra. Amar Rabbi Ami. This pasuk, Asher also. This was Erva Oinon. This is Erva Oinon. Er went and he was Mashke Zaroi Chutzah. He did not want to cause his wife to become pregnant. not to Rashi says not to be machish esyofia. Tamar was beautiful. He did not want her to become pregnant because that would diminish her beauty. So he was shiches arts uchsiv hasam. It says so. The word is going to make a gzeira shava. Vayera beinei Hashem asher osa ra. And Rashi, and then the word is make a gzeira shava from last week's parsha to what it says over here. This pasuk lo yigur chora. So this is an amazing thing. This Gemara is coming over here to tell us that the sin of Er and Oinon was this. Mevi atzmoi lidehirhur avera. That's not what you would think. That's not. Why would you say that? You would say that the sin was shichis arza. They were moitzi shichvas zera levatola. Shichis arza. So why is that called hirhur? I guess it's all related. That if a person brings himself purposely, he looks at things, he does things in order to cause to be moitzi zera levatola. I guess that's really what it means over here. Such a person will not be permitted to enter into the mechitzas asher kadosh baruch hu. It's a Gemara, because the Gemara says the epitome of the person who did this was Er and Oinon. They, it says, beferish in the pasuk in the Gemara in the Chazal, shiches arza and vayera be'enei Hashem asher osa. And the Gemara makes a gzera shava, ra vayera, vayera miloshen ra. And here it says lo yigurcha will not ra. To teach us this principle that a person engages in this activity, he will not be allowed to enter into the mechitzas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pretty scary. Okay. Next piece of Gemara. Next Maim Chazal. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lomer. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry, there's one more. Rabbi Chanini ben Pazi, Emer, Ein Dover Rayor, Lomalo Shnemar, Lo Yigur Charam, Meimo Yeshmot, V'Sorif, nothing ra comes from heaven. Really? Rav Neima yesh motor v'soreif be'avir hu nepoch. So he's telling us over here, I'm not exactly sure what he means over here, is that there is something called motor v'soreif. I'm not sure what this means, but he's telling us a principle that anything that comes from heaven is good. And if when we see it land, when it descends to this earth, if we see that it comes in a form that it's not toif, it's because this world has destroyed it. The environment of this world has taken bracha and has destroyed it. Hashem only.
There are many things that come Yishamayim that seem not to be good. Here's a flood which kills many people.
So
here's a tsunami. All kinds of things.
I don't know what to say, but the Chazal here are telling us that everything that comes from heaven, the Etzem, is good. It's we who take this potential, this raw matter, and we abuse it, and we take bracha and we turn it into klala. Look, one of the most frightening midrashim is the Chedor Egel. With regard to the Chedor Egel, it says that they made the Egel, and then they offered a sacrifice to the Chedor Egel. What did they offer? The man. Can you imagine Hashem sent down to Klal Yisrael man, lechem avirim, the bread of angels, holy bread, lechem min hashamayim. And it says in the Medrash, they took that man that Hashem gave them and they used it as an offering to the Egel Hazav. Does it get worse than that? So Hashem gave you blessing. First of all, he gave you the gold. He gave you the Bizas Mitzrayim. What did we do with the Bizas Mitzrayim? We made an egel. Hashem gave us man, what to eat. And we took that man and used it as a mincha, a meal offering to the egel hazav. Hashem gives bracha. It's man who is corrupt and takes the choymer, that matter, that is be'etzem bracha, and uses it for ra. Everything in this world can be used for blessing. Technology is the classic example. From time immemorial, technology can be an incredible blessing. But unfortunately, look what man has done with technology. Look what they've done. They made a korban. They've taken technology, they created social media. which by all means is a curse. It's a curse to this world. It's an abuse. It's a terrible abuse. A tool that can be used for incredible bracha and has been and the proportion, the ratio of how much good it's used for is a teeny fraction relative to the abuse and the harm and the curse it's brought to the world. Okay, I'm not going to tell you most web pages. I once read statistics. I'm not even going to tell you what I'm talking about, but you can figure it out on your own. You know, you go on a website. You can go to Torah anytime. You can go to the Young Israel of the Middle East homepage. You can go to any. There are so many websites that are mole broch. By without any Jewish websites, non-Jewish websites. Do you know how many websites? What ratio of the internet is used for dvorim ho'asurim, crime, and you can't even. I don't even want to begin to tell you what's going on out there. It's like 95%. 95% of websites are shmutz, are dvorim ho'asurim l'chol hadeis. Gambling and this and I'm go. So, yet 5% is mole the godush of bracha, and you know good things. But isn't it amazing how Hashem sends to this world things that really have incredible power for bracha, and unfortunately mankind has abused it and used it, and then you have to really ask yourself the question: was the good? Was it even kedai? I'll tell you an example like this. This way, I went away to Shabbos, the Agudah convention, and someone asked a very dirty question. He asked Rabbi Shalom Kamenetsky. Shalom Kamenetsky, he's the Rosh Yeshiva for the Philadelphia Yeshiva. He's the son of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. And so someone asked him, you know, in Lakewood, there's no longer English. There's no longer Limudei Chol, secular studies in high school. Do you believe that? Okay, they no longer came out, doesn't exist. The last time they learned Limudei Chol, they learned how to read and write, is in eighth grade. And that's it. And then when they get to high school, and all of the yeshivas in Lakewood, there is no longer Limudei Chol. And every one of you is probably shocked out of their mind. I used to sweat, break my head, because I'm not too smart to learn, to get through the regions, to learn chemistry, biology, geology, 3 years of math. Yeah. You know, I'm not too smart. It was very hard for me, you know, to get a Regents diploma. It wasn't so easy, you know, to study for the SATs, to go to college, you know. It wasn't so easy, okay? And these, zero. So they asked, now, the Philadelphia Yeshiva used to have a reputation as having a very good English department. They used to have a very, very, like a very solid secular education in high school. And so they asked him, he was a very good person to ask. So he right away confessed that.
He's very articulate himself.
So he confessed that the standards of Philadelphia have gone down quite a bit because of the whole culture today. Mm-hmm. He confessed that it's not what it used to be in Philadelphia. And then he went on to say he basically says, they could care less what I have to say. who we have over in the room there? What, there are 50 people in the room there? What do you think? I'm an authority on this? I'm a nobody. Who can get less? This is go ask them, go talk to them. But if you want to ask me, he basically went out to be very critical. Very, very critical of this. And this is what he said. It's very scary what he said. He said, what's the whole reason why they did this? The whole lung was is that if today there are no Gedolei Yisrael, you know, today you see Gedolei Yisrael today. Yeah, Talmid de Chachamim, you have, but you don't have people like Rav Moshe Feinstein, you don't have someone like Yaakov Kamenetsky, you don't have quality, you don't have this. So the thought was that if only we could take boys from the crib and put them in an environment of Kula Torah, nothing but Torah. Torah will produce Gedolei Yisrael. Oh, but 95% of the population is not cut out for this. It's kedai. They should be sacrificed and be ignorant so that we can create an environment of kula Torah. So 5% will thrive.
Rabbi,
let me finish the thought. Wait, let me finish the thought. 1 second. Wait. Let me finish. 1 second. Let me finish my thought. So it'll be kedai to create an environment of kula Torah, so that 5%, like what you were saying, 1 in 1,000, 1,000 go into the Beis Medrash, and one comes out of the Yotzei Lo Hara. It would be kedai. We'll throw 95% down the drain in order to bring
you're
out that one.
With
listen, whatever, no, whatever it means, you can do whatever you want, whatever. Yeah, and then why not? That's right. We're talking about to reach that level. So Rav Shalom Kamenetsky, Rav Shalom, that's right. No one gave him the right to do that. You're right, 100%. 100%. No one. Let's talk all theoretical. The whole thing anyway is baloney. No, you just joke, made a whole joke out. Let's talk theoretical. What's the milah? What would be a theoretical milah? What would be? Whether it's even that is wrong. Even that would be wrong. But let's try to find a silver lining. Okay? Make-believe. In a world of make-believe, let's try to find the silver lining. You would say that if you have an environment of only Torah, you'll produce 1 in 1,000 will be Yotzei Lo Hara, will become. So he says, this has been going on for a very long time. So where is that one person? Show me. Where is he? Where are they? Where is the 5%? Where are they?
Where? They never created that.
Where are they? Why wouldn't they create? They did create it. There's only one. Only Torah.
Malvavia.
Where is it?
Where is that place?
Exactly. So where's that one person? Where? Show me. Obviously, it doesn't work. So if it doesn't work, it's not kedai to sacrifice 95% of the population of the people who would do very, would be a very great benefit for them to have a little more secular education. So basically, he was very critical, extremely critical. But he basically says, "You're asking me? What are you asking me for? Or I don't. What do you think you are over here? What is this over here? This is a circus over here? What is this over here?" But he's saying, "Hashem sends bracha." And he's saying the ratio, the proportion, the ratio. Hashem sends bracha. So we all know, everything is waste. That's the way the world goes. That's a davar pashut. There has to be waste. Everything is packaging. So, but at least from the waste, you have something good. There's something to show for yourself. You have something good. Like, you know, I went to this convention. So, you know, 90% of this whole thing is all make believe. The whole thing is total show. But you know something? After being there for a couple of days, there are little golden nuggets. There are things that are extremely worthy and valuable of every institution. Every institution, they do a lot of work. They do a lot of things. And we all know in the real world that every institution, 90% of what organizations do is just, it's all a show. It's all hocus pocus. It's all fluff. But you need that fluff more often than not to produce golden nuggets. There are things that every organization does that are priceless. And Klal Yisrael cannot survive. Every organization you have to do that. And unfortunately, the way Hashem made the world is that with every blessing, there is a lot of packaging. In a kernel of wheat, in a stalk of wheat, how much of that stalk is garbage? Like 98%? 98% is the stalk, is this part, that part. And what's the good? A little teeny kernel buried deep down within. You take it, you grind it, you produce some flour. So the whole thing is kedai to that little teeny kernel. That's the way the world works. Hashem sends blessing. The churban is when you take the good part and you also put it in the garbage. That's the churban. It's not a kasha that 95% of everything Hashem sends down is used for garbage. That's not a kasha. That's the way the world. The kasha is that when you take the 5% and you also use that for that, that is a terrible churban. Okay, let's go further. Let us go further than the next time. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm now turning the page. A person that causes is from now on page 40. a person that caused his friend to sin, bidvar avera kosha min ha-horgoy. A person that is instrumental in causing his friend to do an avera is worse than having actually killed him, because he takes him out of olam haba. Okay, so therefore, these over here, the Gurcha Ra is telling us that a person who causes, he darshins this pasuk of resha. Resha means causing a person to be wicked. This is worse. This is the worst thing possible. Next, lo yisyatzev ha'olim l'negdeinecha. Amr b'levi k'sev lo yisyatzev ha'olim l'negdeinecha. La'nisham lama l'fi shaneis kol poli oven. Okay, let's go further. V'ani b'v'chas l'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v'v' know this? I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Mihach, Vani, Berev, Chalfu, Rabbi Secha, Eshtachaveh, El Heichal, Kot, Shecha, Bi Yosecha. Mimai, over here, the Gemara tells over here, we learn from bowing. This is a very relevant for Chanukah. I'll explain to you in a moment. Mimai, how do you know that it has to be Hachno, Dilma, David, Shiny, Tavi, Mitzar, Navshe, Beracham, Etuva. Okay, so the Gemara over here is saying that it's not necessarily Raya, but here the Gemara over here tells a very powerful principle. This Mizmar tells us, Vani, when I come to your bayis, I bow down. Eshtachaveh, I bow El Heichal Kod Shecha B'Yerosecha. This Maimer Chazal, this Pasuk, is extremely relevant for the Yemei Chanukah. Why? What did the Yevonim do to the Soirek? In the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of the Chanukah miracle, there was a wicker fence that surrounded the Beis HaMikdash. And on that wicker fence, there were signs that says that Gentiles may not enter further. At Khan, if you're a Gentile, even though you can bring a carbon, and there's a whole agency, there's a whole system in place of how a non-Jew can offer a carbon to Hashem, you are not allowed to go past this point. That was called the Soirek. Okay, they can come into the Har HaBayis. Okay, they can come on the Har HaBayis, but they're not allowed to go past this wicker fence. And on the wicker fence were signs in the fence, Ad Khan, Goyim may not come past this point. What happened? The Yevonim did not like that. Diversity. Okay, you have to have equal rights. And what did the Yevonim do? They ripped down, they made 13 breaches in the limitations. The world is very relevant for the 21st century, what's going on in this country now. There are certain restrictions. And the reason why there are restrictions is for a reason. It used to be in this country, merit meant something. Merit. If you only people that are allowed to come into the inner mechitza is people who have merit. If you want to be a doctor, you have to be able to go to medical school and study. If you want to fly an airplane, you have to know how to fly an airplane. You don't go into the cockpit unless there's merit. There are mechitzos in place in this world, not just physical barriers. There are barriers set up in society to protect society. And what has happened? What did the Yevonim do? The Yevonim did not like the barriers. So what did the Yevonim do? What did the Yevonim do? They ripped down the soirek. And like in this society, oh, you want to go into a cockpit and you can't pass the exam? It's okay, as long as you're an African-American. We will only train Mikano Haba, which is one of the airlines. They made an announcement, Mikano Haba, we're only going to train pilots who are African-Americans. Oh, but they can't pass the exams. So they can't pass the exams. So the plane will crash. Surgeons, medical school. We're not going to hire an angry white person who's smart and studied and has merit. The only ones that will be allowed to enter into our surgery program to cut open your head and fix people's brains are people who are people of color. People of color. They break down the mechitzas. There's a mechitza called merit. Merit. That's a mechitza. It's a mechitza that protects you from entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Merit. No more mechitzas. No more mechitzas. Merit doesn't count. So this principle is nothing, but what's going on in this world today is nothing. This is what happened to Hamid Yevonim. To go into the Beis HaMikdash, you need merit. You know what the merit is? Kedusha Utahara. Kedusha Utahara is the merit you need to enter into the Heichal, into the Beis HaMikdash. What's the Kedusha Utahara? You have to be part of Klal Yisrael. You have to go to the Mikvah. You have to be Tahar. No! You don't have to have merit of Kedusha Utahara. anyone can go into the Beis HaMikdash. He viewed Salem Behechel. They ripped it down. So in the Yavon and the Chashmonoyim, they prevailed. What did they do? They erected, they closed off these breaches, and they were misakin the takon that exists ad hayoyim hazeh. Anytime a person passes one of the breaches that was made by the Yavonim, the Misyavnim, and was fixed, that was reestablished, has to bow. Not just bow, it says one has to bow alpanov, a complete hishtachava, not just a polite of anachnu karim of aleinu, has to be pishut yodayim v'raglayim anytime a person passes one of the 13 breaches that was made by the Yavonim on the Soireg. And that remains ad hayoyim hazeh. When the Mikdash will be rebuilt, this takon is still in place. It's a zecher to the pirtza, the breach that was made in the Soireg, and the nes that it was reestablished, that the pirtza was reestablished. And the way we commemorate that is with Va'ani Biroiv Chaskecha, this pasuk in this mizmar, Avo Ve'Secha, I come to your home, Eshtachaveh, I bow down. This pasuk was expanded. We come once again. Look, at the time of the Yavonim, the Beis HaMikdash was Bota. It was Shomein for about 50 years. There was no Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash may have been standing, but who controlled the Beis HaMikdash? The Yavonim. The Yavonim are the ones who had authority in the Beis HaMikdash. It appears from a simple understanding of the story, there were no korbanos. There were no, everything, the Kohanim were removed, the Misyavnim and the Yavonim took over the Beis HaMikdash. It was a museum. It was a reformed temple. They did every aver in the book. It was Moli Avodah Zarah. It was a museum. Anyone who wants to can come. There's no restrictions. Everyone, they broke down the Soreg. It was a tourist attraction. The Goyim of the lowest caliber can come right into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They put there all the idols they wanted, and they do whatever they wanted. And now when the Chashmonoim prevailed, get rid of the garbage. It took them 8 days. They had to rebuild. They had demolished the Mizbeach. They had to be mitayar. It took them 8 days, it says, to clean up all the garbage in the Beis HaMikdash. And they had to get them the Pach Shemin to re-sanctify the Beis HaMikdash. And that was Halal V'Hoidah. Va'ani, David HaMelech is saying in the name of Klal Yisrael, the Nitzachon of the Yavonim, B'Roiv Chastecha. The miracle of Chanukah, the Milchama, the Gibbon Biat Chalosh, the Ram Biat Matam, the Trim Biat Har, Mishum Biat Tzadik, and the Zaydim and Oskei Sarasecha, this was an act of an abundance of Chesed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give the Ma'atim, the Koyach, to prevail and take back the Beis HaMikdash, restore its sanctity, restore merit, restore the merit of Klal Yisrael, not just a free-for-all. And now when we acknowledge the chesed of Avovei Secha, what did Chazal do? Eshtachaveh. You better bow down. Now, as a reminder of the chesed that Hashem has done, allowed us to prevail, to overcome the previous pasuk, the Divrei Chozov, the Ish Damim U'Mirma, to overcome these evil people who try to destroy the lies. Okay, it's mamish what it is. The Yavon, what are the Yavonim all about? Lies. Lies that Ein lohem kiswel keren hashar. Ein lohem chelik be'elokei Yisrael. It's a lie! What kind of garbage is this? Should go right on the keren hashar. Ein lohem chelik be'elokei Yisrael. That's what the Yavonim, it all comes down to lies. Corruption is all rooted in deceit and chazav. Mm-hmm. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously allowed the Yavonim to be Vani Berev Chascha, Avo Ve'Secha, and we were going there, the Pirtza, why did Chazal, were they misaking when they were going there, the Pirtza, you should bow down when you come to where there was originally a Pirtza, and people just went and followed right through. Avove eshtachaveh. You bow down. You humble yourself. You have to do a mice of pishut, yodayim viraglayim, something, a physical act. It's an incredible chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to overcome these evil liars, molei chozov, sheker, ish domim umirma, and it's obviously rooted in this pasuk, the takana of the yud gimel hishtachavos around the entire Beis Hamikdash in those mekomos that were breached by the Yavanim. Okay, that concludes this shtickle of the Mamor Chazal. There is another one over here, but I'm running out of time. I want to do over here very.
By the way, I came straight from Lakewood. My grandson's wedding.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov to you. Shav lav nachas.
The Yofer of Lakewood Shabbos and stayed over really.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Mazel
tov. Last night.
Straight from Lakewood.
He was there.
Lakewood. I don't mean to anything. Be'er Hashem, everyone. Lakewood is a beautiful, beautiful place. Mole the Godush of Torah. Lakewood, it's like Gehenna. Eventually, everyone ends up there.
It was very large, very large place. Yeah.
A very big Talmud Chacham told that to me. He's no longer living this person. Very, very
I really
big.
I disagree with what you said earlier. Because
I agree with you 100%. That's what he was saying. That's exactly what he was saying. He was extremely critical, and he was making litzanas. He was making litzanas. What are you even asking me? What are you asking me? The world operates by itself. There's very little you can do to make a change. There are trends. This world has trends. It's very, very hard to break a trend. It's like, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? There's a trend. The trend is like this ferocious tsunami. How do you break a trend? What do you do? There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. What? They do have, but he said, I don't know anything about Philadelphia. He said they do. He said, but the standards there have been dramatically diminished because of the climate of society that they can't control. He said it's been dramatic. It's not like anything like it used to be. Let's go weiter. You can't, the problems are so great. You know, you go to these type of places, these events, it's so depressing. All you hear about the whole day is tsaras, tsaras, tsaras. No solutions. There's no solution to any problem. What are you going to do? What are you going to solve? There's no solution. It's just sars, sars, sars. It's a very depressing situation.
It's a big situation. Yeah, everyone else's
sars
is worse than your
sars. It doesn't seem people are coming away with nechama. I don't know. It's very, very disheartening to hear about all these. You hear about the sars. You hear about it. But when you go there, you hear the details. Woo! It's like, oh, I knew there was a problem. I didn't know ad kedei kach, how far it goes. What are the solutions? Rabbi said, there are no solutions. There are no solutions.
You have two people who have a similar
maybe
story.
Mashiach will have some good ideas.
What?
There's two people who have a similar story.
So you say that the benefit is tsaras rab chatzi mechama. Maybe. Okay, let's go further. I want to go do a short balaturim. I like this balaturim. We are almost never do balaturim. Kever, look at pasuk yud. This is very interesting. I like this balaturim. Pasuk yud. On page 42. We mentioned yesterday that it says in the pasuk regarding these wicked people, they do not have their mouths have nothing good to say. We had a whole discussion of what this means. They have no. The word nechayna either means kavana. The Targum translated the word nechayna means they do not have any good intent. Kirbam ha voice. What does that mean? So we have different translations. Either means shever. Kirba means either their thoughts, their machashavos, or their heart. Either their heart or their thought is broken. Havois is shever, is broken. Kever posuach giroinam. Their throats are like an open grave. They're ready to devour you. L'shoinam yachalikon, they smooth talkers. Okay, so we discussed over here four different words. Look at the Balat Turim. The Balat Turim over here, Pasagir on page 442, on the left side of the page towards the top. Pasuach dalid b'mesoyah. Okay, v'chol kuif, v'suach, v'chol kuif. Okay, that's not going to go to the next line. That's not what I'm referring to. The next line. Kever pasuach groinam. Ashbosoy. It says here, ashbosoy. Kever pasuach. Okay, a garbage dump. Like a kever pasuach, hainu de amrinan arba midos bichli cheres. Okay, here's that's probably where we're starting. Behind this, there are four measurements with regard to earthenware utensils. Now, this is a very cute little art. Everyone knows that an object, a utensil, is susceptible to tumah. You have a utensil, a kli cheres. Let's say it's made out of pottery, and if it starts out tahar, and it's susceptible to tumah. Once it breaks, then it's no longer functional, it's no longer susceptible to become tumah. Now, how much of the utensil must it break? To what degree must the damage be in order to say that it's no longer functional? So it depends. What are you using it for? Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, you have a kli cheres and you use it to contain liquids. So the moment when there is a crack in the utensil and it no longer is able to hold its liquor, it can no longer hold the liquid, then this can obviously no longer be used for liquid. But you can still use it as a nice dish on the table to store fruit. When a guest comes, you want to put on the table some grapes. You want to store fruits. Just because the utensil has a crack and it's no longer able to be used for liquids, it can still be used for solids. But what happens if the crack is a little bit bigger? Okay, there are still other functions. So here he explains. Arba midos, this is the Mishnah.
It's okay
for Hanukkah too. What do you mean?
They were tummy. The Hanukkah were tummy. They liked the menorah.
Yeah.
Pole.
A pole that was not mekabel tumah.
Shoot a cleats.
Doesn't the base kibble. Arba midos bichli cheres. About page 42 in the Balat Turim.
Yes.
The last line of the Balat Turim. Arba midos bichli cheres. Nike bekoines mashke. Okay? Now nifsal melekadish by mechatos. Obviously, you can't use this in order to prepare the water of the paraduma water. Vahainu kli. Kli fasuach ha'omor kan eitzel mechatos she'ei mechashev kli. In other words, when it comes to a kli, it comes to the preparation for the para aduma water. You mix ash with water. So the Torah says you have to put in a kli cheres. The Torah uses the word kli. It must be a utensil. If you take water and you take ash, and you put it in a receptacle that is not called a kli, and you mix it, then the mixture is invalid. It's not valid to be used to be metaher a person that's tamimes. And you have your utensil. It's a little crack, no big deal. So the water leaks out. But the crack is so small that by the time you finish mixing the water and the ash, you'll transfer it to another utensil. I need now at this moment to mix the ash and the water. I have a utensil. I need a kli cheres. The Torah demands a kli cheres. So here's a kli cheres. No, there's a little crack. Well, you never use a utensil. Take a cup of coffee, and then they have a paper cup, and there's a little hole. So the water, as long as I finish the coffee within 5 minutes, it'll be good enough. It drips, one drip, you know, every 30 seconds. So it only takes me 3 minutes. Make a calculation. How much waste will go out of the cup, you know, I'll manage. So I have here a kli cheres, it has a little teeny crack, water is leaking. Listen, it only takes me 10 seconds to mix the ash with the water. The amount of water I'm gonna lose is negligible, so let me at least mix the ash with the water in the meantime. No, you can't, because the Torah wants you to use a kli, El kli cheres, a kli. And if, since there's a crack, it's not called a utensil, so the mixture of water and ash is invalid. It will not have the power to be metaher a person's tummy because you did not follow the procedure. The kli has to be pristine, no cracks. Ha'amukan eitzel mechadas she'en chashav kli. The adayin kli, but however, the Gemara adayin kli li'in zeroyin. It's still called the kli li'in zeroyin. That it's not called mechuba l'karka. If I have a utensil and an otzitz she'en that she'en oinoko. There's a many differences in the law between a flower pot that has a hole in it and a flower pot that does not have a hole to the Shabbos. If I have a flower pot and it does not have a hole, and I pick it off the ground on Shabbos, I've done nothing wrong, because it's not called mechuba l'karka. But if I have a flower pot and there is a hole, and the hole is equal to the size of a root, in other words, it's a larger size, then we consider whatever grown in the flower pot to be mechuba l'karka. So the size of the hole of a flower pot in relation to the laws of an otz, in the laws of I mean, if I take a utensil and I have earth and there is something growing, is larger than a teeny little crack from which liquid falls out. If liquid falls out, so what? It's still considered to be, with regard to planting, completely distinct. Linyan zron, nikiv kisharish katan, kiluf. Oh, what happens if this utensil develops a crack? That is a larger, the size of a root of this vegetable called luf. I don't know what a luf is. The hainu min kitnis, a certain type of bean, and there's a root, the size of this little bean. Ah, tahar hu linin zeroim. Shim hayu zroim zroim ba'atzitz nakov, einay mekabel toma. This pot is considered, is no longer called the utensil, and therefore it's not a receptacle, it's not a kli, it's not mekabel toma. Vahainu shorshi pasuach elei moyin. This is another pasuk which is the root is opened enough for water to enter, which in this case means that the root is able to absorb its nutrients from the ground. V'adayin klihu le'inyan zaysin. If I want to use it as a receptacle to store on the table olives, it's called a kli. Nikaf kimoitzi zayis, but let's say it gets the hole the size of an olive. Tahar mistam klicheres, soimilizasim. Vahainu pasuach geroinam. Okay, we'll come back in 1 second. The stam achila bikazayis. Ordinarily, stam a utensil. An ordinary utensil you have in your home is used to store fruit. What is the fruit that is the baseline? Is the shear, the size, to judge an ordinary utensil to determine if it's still susceptible to toma? Olives, just like when it comes to eating the shiurim, it's an incredible chiddush here. Just like when it comes to a shear of achila, how much do you eat on Pesach? A kezayis. The shear achila is a kezayis. What is the shear to make a bracha acharoina? A kezayis, an olive. So an olive is just like when it comes to that's how much food you eat. Likewise, as far as a utensil being a receptacle that it's susceptible to toma, it has to be able to hold olives without them falling out. If an olive, the hole is so big that an olive would fall out, this goes in the garbage. This is not a receptacle and it's not mekabel toma, unless you go out of your way to use it to hold a pomegranate. V'adayin kliyu l'rimayin, migav k'motzei rimayin tar mikhumin, has absolutely no, that it's not mekabel toma whatsoever. V'haynu ashpasoi kekever posuach. K'loimar, kishnikev posuach k'motzei rimayin. Okay, over here it calls it zergnus ola asha ve'ein shem kli olav oit. So he's taking over here what it is now, pasuk, and he's taking the four different madregos in regard to a kli cheres. See over here, pasuk, go back to pasuk yud. Possibly is ki ein befiu nichoina. Okay, that's number one. Befiu, it seems like he's interpreting a peh, the smallest teeny opening. Kirbam havois, their inside is broken. That's the next madrega. K kever posuach gruinam. It's like a grave, an open grave. That's the third madrega. L'shoinim yachalikun is smooth. So the, now, how does I say? I saw this in secondary source. We wanted to darshan what this Baal HaTorah is saying to this pasuk itself. Their tongue, yachalikun. Their tongue is smooth. That's the biggest opening. That's the worst opening. Their tongue. I don't remember exactly. I'm getting mixed up. But the reason, let me just tell you the points just that I do remember. There are four different types of openings here in this pasuk. It opens up by telling us that the peh is not nechoina. It's a drush. Nechoina means it's not correct. Why is it not correct? The most beautiful face is a face that has a closed mouth. Once you open your mouth and you let out all the garbage, no good. Okay? You look at a person, their mouth is closed. Ah, he's safe. Safe. When the mouth is open and all the nonsense comes out, that's the smallest. Then it gets worse. Kirbam, the inside is havos. Havos means broken. That alludes to a crack that's even larger. It's even more dangerous. Inside the person's mind, heart, he's becoming corrupt. It's one thing with a person, he slips. He says something, you know, I should have thought about it. I should have been more careful. What I'm a good person. I didn't mean it like that. I really didn't. I really meant to say something very nice and complimentary. I slipped. The wrong words. It happens to everyone. You just say the wrong thing, but you really didn't mean it like that. Okay, that's a little teeny opening. Because if you really, really prepared well, even that would not have happened. Then it comes where a person is rotten on the inside. Kirba, the machshava, you have to protect yourself from yourself. There's a greater crack. The crack is inside of your body. Then comes the next, groinam, kever pasuach groinam means you got a problem. Your throat, it flows. Person opens up his mouth and he says naturally nasty, nasty things. And then the biggest shattering of a person is when he becomes a smooth talker, a professional chronic liar. Smooth talker, you know how to spin it off. Well, four madrigas, we're starting from the smallest fissure to where the person is thoroughly corrupt, a professional politician. He gets to Lashonim Chalukais. This is all the Arba Midos of a Kli Cheres. There is no greater Kli Cheres in this world than a human being. How do you make a Kli Cheres? You take earth and you take water and you mix it together and you put it in a kiln and it comes out a Kli Cheres. How did Hashem fashion man? Hashem took Ofar min ha'adama. Hashem took Mayim from the Tohoim. Vayipach pa'ap of Nishmas Chayim. Hashem is Eish. Hashem is fire. Hashem is Eish Oichlo, the pasuk says. So Hashem is the furnace. So a person, in essence, is a klicheres. Again, how do you make a klicheres? You take Ofar, earth, and you take Mayim. You mix it together, and you put it into a furnace. How did Hashem make man? Hashem took Ofar min ha'adama, Vayipach Ofar min ha'adama. Hashem took Mayim from the Tohoim. He kneaded it, and then Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blew a spirit of life. Every neshama is a chelik me'elokayim. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is called an Eish Oichlo, an all-consuming fire. Hashem is the kiln. Man is the ultimate Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres has a function. And because it has a function, it's susceptible to Tumah. If the Kli Cheres is not Mekabel Tumah, that's not a good sign. That means the Kli Cheres is no longer functional. So the ultimate function of the Kli Cheres is it's susceptible. It can hold even liquid. Mayim. What is Mayim? Hoi kol tzomei l'chula mayim, Torah. The kedusha of it, it can hold the liquid. Unfortunately, not every person is holding in spirituality where they should. They get a little crack, the liquid goes out. Okay, I can't, I'm not going to be a Rosh Hashiva. I'm not going to be the world-class Talmud Chacham. I'll learn Daf Yomi. I'm not going to be, the little crack in the Kli Cheres. Okay, but still, you don't have a big crack. Unfortunately, Kerbam Havois, some people, they become corrupt on the inside. Their heart and mind become a little corrupt, and then already they become, they're no longer the roots, the shirashim to where they come from. That's the next madrega. They're where they're rooted in life, either where their legacy, their parents, their grandparents, or where they're grounded in this world becomes a problem. And then Rachmana Litzlan, the klicheres of man, gets even worse. It becomes a keder pesuach. He's on the way like Korach. He's heading in the very bad. The Rishayim are called dead even when they are alive. Sadiqim, even when they're dead, they're called chayim. But Rishayim, even in their life, they're already called dead. The crack in the Kli Cheres has gotten to such a point that he's called a Rasha. And then there was the worst of the worst. The worst of the worst would become Lashon and Yachalikun. They become smooth talkers. Smooth talkers is they have absolutely no morals, no values, everything goes. They can twist and turn everything. The corruption has gone to such a point where they have no moral conscience of what their life is all about. That's where Afilu Kumaitse Riman, even the size of a pomegranate, what's the symbolism of a pomegranate? Klal Yisrael mole mitzvahs kirimoin, like a pomegranate. Even the poishe Yisrael are mole mitzvahs kirimoin. But this guy has gone to such a point, he's beyond the rimoin. He's beyond the rimoin. You can't even say about him that he's molin mitzvah is kirimoin. That's how big the crack is. This balaturim is alluding to the fact that a person is a kli cheres, and just like by a kli cheres, there are four madregot. There is mashke, the whole mayim. There is the shoresh, the root. There is the keder pasuach, and then there is the moitzei rimoin. A person is a kli cheres. The goal is he should be perfect. If a kli cheres is perfect, it can be a container for mayim. What is mayim? Hoy kol tzomim l'chula mayim, a mayim ele Torah. If a person does not take care of himself, a little crack can open up, and he's not going to be able to benefit from the fullness of Torah. But at least he's rooted. His shoroshim are good. If he doesn't take care of himself, those cracks can become greater. His roots, he's a free-for-all. The roots are no longer there. And if he doesn't take care of himself, it can become a kever pasuach. He's considered already dead in this world. And if he doesn't take care of himself, he can even lose the madrega of the rimoin. And the rimoin is, even the poishe Yisrael have merit. The mole mitzvahs kirimai. But if you don't take care of yourself, if the kli cheres doesn't take care of himself, it can develop a crack the size of a rimon. It's worthless. So these are four arba midos in the kli cheres. This pasuk talks about the koyach of man in the koyach of dibur. Because what differentiates man over every other living creature in this world? Man is a medaber. Man is a kli cheres. That is the medaber. And this pasuk delineates the four madregot, the four different things that can happen to this kli cheres.
But kli cheres is terrible. You can't kosher.
Exactly. That's why.
So why are we dying to something metal?
No pain, no gain. Mm. No pain, no gain. The greater the risk, the more that's a lot. The more potential the risk for the gain. It's always zeh l'mazeh. I mean, this is just one dimension. But it's a scary principle. That's right. There is no tahara kli cheres. Once it's tameh, there's nothing you can do. It has to be shattered. There's no way to resolve it.
That's exactly against what we believe in.
Okay, this is one prat. Obviously, it's not the only. All right, we're out of time. That's it. There are a lot more things I wanted to do, but unfortunately, that's it. Tomorrow, we have to say Tachlin tomorrow. Even though tomorrow is Chanukah, the third day of Chanukah, here at Boisai, we're going to say Tachlin. Tomorrow, here's Hashem, we're going to do Mizmar Vav. Mizmar Vav is Tachlin. Okay, so Tachlin and Chanukah.
You know, that reminds me.